each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome to a new day.
A new day. It's a good way of saying it.
How are you doing? Right. I'm looking at all the headlines here.
That's probably something you don't want to do. No, unless they're centered on.
I hear more and more people tell me they don't watch the news. Got to keep attuned to what's going on, but there are limits. As we get the hurricane in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Here, the end, secret final flight, V-Day, Taliban, victory day for the Taliban.
I keep thinking about your shell shock example.
Sure.
And as much as it took me a while to understand, I think I really understand that now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad, but yet it's probably the best way to describe how it feels. You know? It's like you don't want to be angry, but you're at the point of where anger doesn't matter. Well, anger always matters, I think. But for somebody that doesn't want to be angry, it takes a lot out of a person.
Well, you know, when you feel powerless, when you see something, you feel powerless to do. What do you do? What can we do?
It's kind of like, and I think I said this before, but I think it's the best example, even from my case, where you see a father and, okay, you've given everything you can to the kids, but yet the kids are going to do what they're going to do, and with no regard to you. And you almost have to watch somebody make a mistake, hopefully not a mortal mistake,
right?
But there's nothing you can do, and that's the feeling I think best described.
And we're going to pray here in a second that we didn't the other day. I think we get caught up in the conversation that we. I never know when to stop, you know, but everything is so upside down, and you want to do something, and you're asking somebody to do something, but it feels like we're so far, we've drifted so far away from some sense of normality, proper order, certainly, you know, from God. And yet, there's signs of hope. I see this in young people. We have to go back to the Anawim, the small flock that really confounds the wise of this world, and we know that God is in charge, and I think that's the we've got to remember that He's the Lord of history, and that history has been through many crises. I think it's just that we've had it so good for so long that we've taken so much for granted, and then of course, you know, the deceptive and the seductive and the illusory tactics of the enemy. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe that we're in a spiritual battle, I mean, how else can you explain it? You know, it's evil is. You just look at what's going on in Afghanistan, and yeah. You know, I saw that Black Hawk helicopter that was flying around, and they had hanging from the helicopter the body of one of the interpreters.
Oh, that's what that I heard a little bit of news on. Yeah. I automatically turned off because I knew this is the kind of stuff that's going to start happening.
Yeah, and of course, today, yeah, I heard it this morning, because today's the 31st, this was the deadline, you know, the deadline they imposed on the United States, they got to be out, the troops, and so they're having it's like a 4th of July celebration, yeah. Independence Day celebration, the Taliban at least, you know, so others are absolutely living in fear for the, they expect, I've been hearing you know, certain people have certain kind, but you know, they can't even. The problem is now you've got the names are all out there.
That's the surprising thing.
I mean, government had turned over the names of all the names. People. I guess they naively thought that the Taliban would be benevolent and kind and allow these people out, but not so.
I don't even know what to think about this. Again, it's not even a matter of. I don't know what you would say for Joe Biden, president. I don't know. The first thing that comes to my mind is prayer, prayer, prayer. I don't know why. It's yelling. I think that's the only thing I'm capable of doing right now.
Right, that's the answer right now. That's the answer. I was listening to some of the parents, fathers, and a mother. There was a mother, too, of these troops that have that were killed in the terrorist attack.
I sat and I could not watch that. I just tears were coming down my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked at his watch at not just once. I thought it was once, but he kept.
From what I understand, he did it for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was his way of dealing with something that he couldn't deal
maybe
with.
Maybe I'm being tricked by the media, and this didn't happen. But you know what?
No, because the parents were saying that.
I heard, exactly. That's what I thought, too. My first bet was, why would somebody do this? But then when I heard the father say that, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is just beyond something trying to figure out. And I think that's one of my greatest faults is I sit here and I want to look for the best in people, but then I can't think of what could possibly be the reason that you're doing this.
See, the thing is, we need leadership, and right now there's a vacuum.
Exactly.
A vacuum, a big, big vacuum in the world, really.
Yeah.
Certainly in our nation, we feel this in the church. I'm sorry to say, but you know, there's something is not. People are our tranquility and peace have been disturbed now. Yeah. It shouldn't be, because Jesus is not to be afraid, be at peace, because, and he did say, you're going to have trouble, but be at peace, have courage, I've conquered the world. But we also know that we're fighters, and that we live to defend the truth, to defend the faith, to defend people. And so from a religious perspective, you know, how do we fight the good fight?
Right.
You know, well, it's and we'll try to address this a little bit today, because I want to go back to, or we have another reflection from Cardinal Sarah. I kept saying Sarah, but it's actually, I guess, pronounced Sarah. And it kind of addresses the issue. I was reading a number of articles this morning on, you know, how the devil wants disunity, and we are disunified. The nation is disunified, totally divided. The church is completely divided, and anybody who tries to whitewash that reality is living in some kind of a surreal
fantasy world,
fantasy world, or their head is in the sand. Mm-hmm. There's definitely an increasing divide within the church. This is, but again, you know, the scripture speaks about this, and it was already happening in the epistles and the letters before the gospels were even written. These the divisive or divisive, however you want to say that, tactics of a force working against God were very much at play, and so there's this constant trying to to unify. I mean, Jesus, the night before he died, he prayed for that unity. He says, you know, he forewarned us that the enemy would come. We have to live in truth. What is truth? But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But now, how does that incarnate itself in the world, in our reality, in the here and now of our time, when we are in the exile, we're not home, fully committed to life? You know, it's people don't like. I find this in many churchmen. Let's just say. Don't like the biblical language, apostasy, spiritual battle, the demonic. You know, this propensity to keep it all comfortable and soft and pleasant, and you know, God is love, and you know, I was speaking to some other people the other day too about, or this morning, actually it was this morning, about parenting, where, you know, our generation, we had a certain fear of our parents. You know, we loved our parents, we knew our parents loved us, but it's interesting because we were reflecting on this, and I would go home as a man, you know. Mm-hmm. My mother's 89, I'm 66. But when I go home, if I want to, you know, get something from the refrigerator, I ask her.
Right.
Or if I want to leave, take a ride or something, I seek her permission. I mm-hmm. ask her. I don't, you know, I still have that respect. My mother is still my mother. I'll never be, I'm always going to be her son. And it was the same thing with my father before he died. You didn't want to offend them. You know, there was a certain proper way of speaking to your parents, and you sought permission, not because they were mean, because they're not mean, and of course they're going to say yes, but it was the proper thing to do. So if I want to do something, or if I want to change the channel on the television, mm-hmm. or my mother would give me the whatever that
TV guide,
the
remote control,
yeah. And say, you know, watch whatever you want, and I'm reluctant to switch the channel because I want to find out, well, what do you normally watch, what do you want to watch, and I don't want to take that away from her,
yeah.
but so she said, no, whatever you want to watch, you know, just you decide. And but what do you, mom, what do you watch, you know, like in the morning she has her certain shows that she likes to watch in the morning, I defer to her.
Right.
I would defer to her. I would defer to my father, and but today it's very different. Young people, not in all cases, but generally speaking, mm-hmm. there isn't that respect, that certain fear, which is a reverential fear. Mm-hmm. It's like they've got the run of the house, you
right.
know. If you get the point I'm making, it's a very different kind of reality today. If you get in trouble in school, you didn't want your parents to know
right.
you got in trouble. Today, if a child gets in trouble, they, for the most part, they're running to,
the mom or dad is more.
Yeah, and then the parents come and they're ready right. to lash out at the principal
exactly.
or the teacher or the.
It's everyone else's fault except their kids.
Right, right. I don't know. It's a strange world we live in. But how did we get here? And how do we correct this? But it's at every level of society now,
yeah.
And it just creates disorder. But. Let's pray, and then we'll.
Yeah.
I don't want to, because I do want to. I guess the question is, how do we maintain unity? How do we not allow the devil to destroy our unity, which is what he wants to do, when in fact things are disunified, and we do have an obligation as Christians, as Catholics, to defend what is truth. And how do we do that in a civil way when so much of our peace and tranquility have been disrupted by seemingly the powers and principalities, or the powers, mm-hmm. those who have power with an agenda to remake or reimage or deconstruct the world as ordained by God in if we follow sacred tradition, if we follow the biblical message, the full counsel of God, why this inability or desire, or this not an inability but a choice not to speak the hard language of Scripture, the hard language of Jesus Christ. And we'll even, perhaps if we get a chance, go back to the readings, because I kept the homily very short on Sunday because it was very, very hot. Mm. So I wanted to, you know, I was very conscious of people who were just really like in a, just, you could feel this, the heat, it was very humid. And I kind of ended on a down note, because that's how the gospel ended. And I felt guilty about that, because, and we will look at those readings. But then later in the day, as I was feeling guilty that, you know, I ended on this this down note, or down, downer, let's just mm-hmm. say, then I realized, but that's how Jesus ended that gospel. And are we, you know, if we've got to make people feel happy or comfortable, or we certainly want to keep people in hope, but part of that hope is conversion.
Yeah,
it's conversion. It's recognizing the reality of sin, repenting of that sin, in order to live in the freedom of God's Spirit. And so that, you know, if you want hope, you know, cleave to Christ and live as the Lord has ordained we live. We want to fulfill the will of God. So anyway, let's we'll pray, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and try to unpack some of this stuff, some of these things. Stuff. I don't know why I use that word, stuff. It's not a very pleasant word, is it? It's certainly not when referring to the faith. All right, everybody, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Certainly we pray for peace in the world, and you know, that we come to our senses. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. And this is a litany to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as we're at the end of the month. This is the litany that's prayed during the month of August. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, like unto the heart of God,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, united to the heart of Jesus,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, instrument of the Holy Ghost,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, sanctuary of the Divine Trinity,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, tabernacle of God incarnate,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, immaculate from thy creation,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, full of grace,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, blessed among all hearts,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, throne of glory,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, most humble,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, holocaust of divine love,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, fastened to the cross with Jesus crucified,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, hope of the agonizing,
pray for us.
Heart of Mary, seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And then Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new, really starting tomorrow, but the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Wednesday, September 1st, you'll notice some new programming before and after Winds of Change. What might that new programming be, you may ask? Well, the secret is out. AM 750 WNDZ will now be the home of the new Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland. EWTN Radio, where you'll hear old friends like Al Cresta, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. We'll still be here, but we'll be surrounded by friends. Join AM 750 WNDZ Wednesday, September 1st, before and after Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. You know, so I was actually thinking during as we were praying the litany that the fact that we were disunified, we're a deeply divided nation, we're a terribly divided church, and again, people may challenge me in that regard, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's always been, you know, not necessarily deeply divided, but there's always been divisions, and those divisions have to be corrected over time, and that's the good news is that we've got a person of reference. It's through God that we're able to correct ourselves, but the devil is ever active and trying to divide. So I was actually thinking during the litany what Jesus said, you know, because on one hand, on the evening before he died, he reiterated over and over and over again to the apostles about the need for unity, to preserve unity, to remain in him as he remains in us, he and the Father and the Spirit. And yet it was soon after the church was founded, after Pentecost, that the divisions began to come into play, and it's been like that through the history of the church, even to the point that there was the major split between East and West, and then, of course, the Protestant Reformation. I don't like to use the word Reformation because I don't feel that it was really a reform, as it was, even though they thought they were reforming the church, but you reform from within. You know, you don't divide. Right. In order to reform, you've got to the family's got to work it out, you know. And so these who separated from the mother church are ecclesial communities. There's Christians. We don't rebaptize them if they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We recognize them as our brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're ecclesial communities, not in communion with the mother church. It's interesting. I had a wedding not too long ago, and we got into a discussion. It was a Catholic and a non-Catholic, and I had to call his pastor because we have to verify that the parties are baptized. Mm-hmm. And the pastor, the minister of the church said, "Well, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. He's baptized, but I don't know if he's a Christian." And I said, well, you know, baptism brings us into the body of Christ, right, into the mystical body. Well, I don't know that he's a Christian, you know. Baptism doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. So it was this very strange conversation. And he sent me a... he said, well, I'll send you... Yeah, he was baptized in this church, but he sent me... an exhortation on why baptism doesn't make you a Christian and the like, you know. Oh. And I tell you, that's why, you know, we don't use the term born again. Well, we're born again in baptism, right? We're born, we're brought into the mystical body of Christ. We're cleansed of original sin, and that's the first sacrament that eventually opens the door to the Eucharist. But every time we go to Holy Mass, we participate by renewing our covenant with the Lord. I've mentioned this before, but we have, so in essence, it's the altar call. We go to the altar to offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. We renew our covenant with the Lord. So yes, it's true that you, once a Christian, but doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven if you're not living according to the commandments of God and you know, fulfilling the will of God, you know, living your life in Christ, allowing Jesus to live his life in you, reproduce his life in you. But, you know, thank God we're never going to be perfect this side of death, but we are being perfected if we're disposed for the inner working of God's Spirit. But this particular religion, a Christian religion, this ecclesial community, they have the altar call, but there's no altar. Mm-hmm. And so So let's say you're baptized, and you make that altar call, but there's no altar. There's no, you know, there's no sacrament. The baptism is considered a sacrament. I don't know if they call it a sacrament, but we certainly do. We acknowledge that as a sacrament in other religions, other Christian religions, where there's baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, people may say, are you saved? Yeah. Are you saved?
Heard that.
And I said, well, saved, you know, we were certainly saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been baptized. We're Christians. We're Catholics. Because it's a lot of people think that if you're Catholic, you're not Christian.
Right.
Being Catholic means...
Although we follow that man, Jesus Christ, we're not Christian.
Right. You know, and
that man.
So, but we know that we're in the process of being purged, transformed, sanctified. The potter's molding the clay of our life. It's a work of a lifetime. God needs our disposition that we're receptive to the working of His Spirit through the sacraments and through our own prayer and all that. But. It was just so this Protestant, when Luther, through pride, really, because at the root of this was pride. Mm-hmm. You don't separate from the church and start your own church as if God says, no, this is, I'm done with this, and we're going to start anew. Well, that led to, you know, just the splintering of the church into all these different ecclesial communities, denominational Christians. Mm-hmm. And the last I heard, there's over 35,000 different. You know, anybody can take the Bible and read the Bible and decide, you know, he's going to... And I know people who have done that. I know a Catholic missionary who was a layman, mm-hmm. who came and even gave retreats here and all that. And a good guy, and very powerful speaker, very, very, very charismatic, very dynamic, and it came to me, you know, he had like 3 or 4 children, and asked if I would baptize his children. They had never been baptized, and I thought, well, that's strange, you know, you're giving retreats to our young people, and you haven't even baptized your own children. And then he eventually took on a job at a parish. He didn't work here, he was well known as a good preacher, you know, he was inculcating the faith. And so he took on a job at a parish. They hired him at a parish, and he ended up leaving and started his own church, you know. Wow. Started his own church. So, you know, it happens. It happens all the time, you know. But the right over here, I'm going to all that stuff. So I'm not going to do it.
That's a long story in itself.
But I was thinking about that during the litany, that Jesus also said, "Don't think I've come for peace. I've come for division. I bring the sword that will bring division." So what does he mean? Not literally a sword that would kill the body. Mm-hmm. But the sword of truth, and in the face of truth, you have to decide: as he would say elsewhere, are you with me or are you against me? Are you hot? Are you cold? If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. In other words, I come in truth, which will bring division, because people then have to make a choice. In truth, Jesus was the conscience of the people. He was a sword in their side, and that's why they had to eliminate him, get rid of him, because he was the conscience of the people. He called people out, mm-hmm. you know, the Pharisees and the scribes and others as well.
I guess in like this day, nobody wants to be called out. It's like, you know, nobody wants to make that choice, or doesn't really understand the choices to make.
Right, because we live in a rather superficial way. Be nice. What do they call that? The church of nice.
Right.
You know, just be nice, be good. As you ask people sometimes, are you going to go to heaven? Well, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm a good person, but
I don't rob, I don't steal. Something.
Yeah. Do you have God in your life? No, but I'm a good person.
Right. How often do you go to church? I really have no need.
I'm a good person.
I don't need to.
Or what about the commandments? What about going to Mass? And, well, you know, God and I, we work it out our way, right?
We got a plan.
Yeah, so we got a plan. We got a plan. Oh, are you in dialogue with God?
Yes, of course. He talks to me all the time. Yeah. So how are you living your life? God knows how I'm living my life.
You know.
And that's the, it's funny, and I don't mean to make joke of it, but there are people that kind of feel that way until they know. That's why I was just talking to a friend of mine who's asking questions, and of course, if he's going to ask me questions, I'm going to try to answer best way I can. But it's interesting how people, and that's why I think it's important to talk to people to really know people, to see what's going on in their life, the issues they have with God or the church. And after a conversation, some of that comes out, and you know how to, and then you imagine how many people are upset because things didn't go their way.
Right.
They're mad at God for something. And I find that so fascinating when you hear that from people.
And yet you take the other people with simple faith who just everything is, even when they're in the worst kind of suffering, they have, you know, faith is a gift. That is a mystery, isn't it? Because faith is a gift. And so I too, as I deal with people, like I had a mother, her son came to pick her up from Mass, and he walked in and, you know, said hi, and then the mother said, "Would you bless my son?" And so he kind of, you know, recoiled, you know, what are you doing? I don't want to, you know, and I said, "We all need blessings, you know." So I said, "What's your name?" And I blessed him, and I said, "That didn't hurt you, did it?" You know, it really didn't hurt. But it's the world we live in, but faith is a gift. It's a gift. And by the way, in fact, let me just go to this real quick, okay, because I just ordered this book, and I want to read this because it... So this is from Sophia Press.
Mm-hmm.
So they're advertising this book, but it starts out by, you know, street riots, iconoclasm, fourth trimester abortions, gay weddings, transgenderism. In times like these, we need the Catholic Church to operate with moral authority. Distressed American Catholics are understandably yearning for big solutions to the big problems facing our church and society. Yet sadly, the church has lost much of her patrimony, her vitality, and her very credibility just when it's needed the most. One second here. Into the Gathering Darkness, author Brandon McGinley sheds light. I just ordered his book this morning. Unlike others who are responding to today's crisis, McGinley does not propose that we return to an unrealistically romanticized Catholic past. Rather, he argues that these disturbing days offer us a tremendous opportunity to rescue our church, provided we can muster the holy confidence needed to seize this God-given moment. I'm sorry. McGinley shows how, with the help of much prayer and sacramental grace, we can reinvigorate our communities in ways that will transform ourselves, the church, and the entire world. With painstakingly clarity, he unearths what was working and what wasn't in the decades before the Second Vatican Council, and shows how genuine Catholic renewal can emerge only through a return to our true Catholic identity as applied to the contemporary world. We have everything we need. We have Christ. And now we have a clear roadmap to guide families, parishes, schools, ourselves, and the institutional church. Okay, I'm pausing here because I'm trying to get the next page. I can't do it. And Nick is over here, so I'm wondering what's going on here. Everything is okay. We just keep going.
Okay. Don't get distracted from me.
Back from the Abyss.
Okay.
Well, that's it. So anyway, the book is called The Prodigal Church.
Oh.
So I'm interested in that. I ordered it, and maybe we'll share that. What's going on, Nick? Do we need to take a break? Yeah? Okay, we're going to take a break. Let me find my new... this is good. We'll be better tomorrow. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Radio, Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ.
Before and after Winds of Change. What might that new programming be, you may ask? Well, the secret is out. AM 750 WNDZ will now be the home of the new Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, EWTN Radio, where you'll hear old friends like Al Cresta, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. We'll still be here, but we'll be surrounded by friends. Join AM 750 WNDZ Wednesday, September 1st, before and after Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. .org. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and what a weird hour it seems to, you know? Let me go back. So we've been talking about unity, and I said that during the litany when we were praying, Jesus says, "Don't think I've come for peace, I've come for division." In other words, he is the truth, and that truth will set us free if we choose to be free. If we give free rein to the flesh, if we choose to have little or no regard for God, or for the commandments of God, then, you know, then we contribute to the this unity. But even so, we have to accept the fact that this side of death, we're always going to have to we're always fighting to be a unified people, and you can't unite with people who choose against the truth, or they come up with their own truth. Yeah, as we were saying, like a person who says, well, God and I, we work it out our way. But you go back to the reading on Sunday, the book of Deuteronomy, which is just a fascinating reading. And, you know, when you listen to this, you think about where our nation has come, what's going on in the church. It's very pointed, the reading. And I just want to share that with you, and we bring it up many, many times. And by the way, I mean, this is something that I'm so aware of, because this soft, comfortable, don't rock the boat kind of ideology with regards to the faith is so contrary to the faith. And so when we heard this past Sunday from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses being the spokesperson for God says now, speaking to the people, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I'm teaching you to observe, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command, nor subtract from it, which is exactly what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. As he began, after the Beatitudes, he said, I've come not to take anything from the commandments, nothing. We're talking about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. So Moses said, observe them carefully. Again, he's a spokesperson for God. For thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all of these statutes and say, this great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? So the point being that the commandments of God, if we observe the commandments of God, therein lies truth, right? The first three commandments refer to our right relationship with God. The other seven commandments refer to our right relationship with each other. And this is not a God who is permissive, but this is a God who is demanding. I command you, and love these laws, fulfill these laws, and you will prove yourselves to be a great nation. You will be the envy of other nations. So you ask yourself, where are we as a nation? Because actually this applies to each of us individually. It applies to our families. It applies to our nation. Certainly it applies to the church. And in Jesus, in the gospel. And this is where I said I kind of ended on it, because I just basically focused on this on Sunday, just very pointed, in a very pointed way. I said, God has spoken, right? God has spoken. So it's for us to decide where we are, who we are. Under whom do we, under whose lordship do we live? So the Pharisees and the scribes, they come to Jesus and they gather around him and they ask the question, why do your disciples not observe the traditions of our ancestors? Because you have to remember, everybody, that there were like 600 and some different laws in the Old Covenant. And Jesus really purified the laws, but he did not dispense with the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue, and he's very, very clear about that, and he repeats that over and over and over through the Gospels, and it's repeated through the letters, the epistles of Paul and Peter and James and John, in the book of Revelation as well. But so they're challenging Jesus, that his disciples are not observing all these traditions with a little T. And Jesus, he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He calls them, you hypocrites. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. In vain do you worship, teaching as doctrines, human precepts. You disregard God's commandment. And what is that commandment, the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, which is a summation of the Ten Commandments. So he called the crowd to himself, and he says, hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters from one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come from, but the things that come out from within are what defile. And this is kind of where I ended the homily, and then I felt bad later because I thought, you know, it's a kind of a downer. But it was a, look at the question. But then I realized, no, these are the words of Jesus, because he says, from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, which is really the free reign of the flesh, that I have the license to do anything I want, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. Jesus says all these evils come from within, and they defile. And so my final question, I think, was, so what comes from the heart of our nation? What is coming from the heart of our nation? What's coming from our hearts? What comes from the hearts of our families or our city? It's a question, right? Are we under the lordship of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Are we fulfilling the commandments of God? Or are we allowing evil thoughts, unchastity, theft and murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly? Is this what's coming, exuding, or, you know, just emanating from our hearts? And if so, then we're in dire need of conversion. We need to repent. We need a metanoia, a change of heart. And the nation, if these things are coming from within the nation and we're spreading them through the world. I mean, you just take unchastity. You know, where do you hear anybody speak about chastity or the virtue of virginity or the marriage? And I mean, get it, I understand, you know, and I say this all the time to the people, we're affected by the society we're living in. And so if we can diminish, it goes back to the fear, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. We were talking about our parents, right? Yeah. How we feared our parents. Not in a servile way, but they had the authority, and we were under their authority. And as my father would always say to me, he says, you mess up, everybody's going to mess up. And if I, you know, acted in a, if I just gave him a bad look because he wanted me to do something I didn't want to do, he'd say, you know, sometimes he'd say, Tony, sometimes he'd say, buddy, get the chip off your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I did. Right away, I got it off my shoulder, you know. But we're in a crisis. We're in a crisis, and that may sound like it, but people know it.
Yeah.
People know it. And what happens is people sometimes just choose to, you know, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm powerless, so let me just eat, drink, and be merry and do what I'm doing. And I'll just trust that God is so good and merciful that in the end it's all going to be okay. Anyway, Nicholas, we'll take a final break and then just come back and wrap up, okay? So here we go. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 50 and AM 750 WNDZ. That's a lot.
On Wednesday, September 1st, you'll notice some new programming before and after Winds of Change. What might that new programming be, you may ask? Well, the secret is out. AM 750 WNDZ will now be the home of the new Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, EWTN Radio, where you'll hear old friends like Al Cresta, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. We'll still be here, but we'll be surrounded by friends. Join AM 750 WNDZ Wednesday, September 1st, before and after Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan Lukowska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. By the way, you know, I was saying this hour was interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like I'm in slow motion. But I had two commentaries, you know, the other day, Tony. And one was this guy, Alan, who I've known for a long time, but I hadn't seen him for many, 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 many years. And he listens to the program. And so I said, oh, geez, because I don't listen. I don't listen. I said, when people say I listen to the program, I feel a little bit embarrassed. And because I feel like, you know, I'm letting him down. And he says, yeah, you and Tony. He said it's like old Chicago radio, you know.
It's a good compliment.
You know, I said, you know, I'm all over. He said, yeah, but you know, but you've been doing that for 10 years. He said, 10 years. Then I talked to somebody yesterday and said, no, I don't listen to the show because there's no logic. Everything, you're all over the place, you know. So
there's no logic.
Yes. She said, I think in a logical way, and, yeah. And so she wants. You know, ABCD, you mm-hmm. know, whatever, but we just...
You meet those kind of people all the time.
great people, yeah. but how people think differently. The brain works in different ways. I said, yeah, I'm not an organized thinker, you know, so you get what you got, you know. But anyway, so I guess as we bring an end to the show, I go back to the previous readings mm-hmm. from the previous Sunday when Joshua... says, he addresses the people and says, if it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you're going to serve. The gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. So that's a very good question. Do we serve the gods of our nation today, or do we serve the God of our ancestors? And our response should be, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. Or when the disciples left Jesus because his teaching was just too much, and he says to the 12, do you wish to leave as well? He knew one would betray him, and Peter said, Lord, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe, we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. And indeed, that'll prove itself out. And so, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, it's enough to move the mountain. We stay with God. All right, everybody, thanks for staying with us. We really appreciate it. We thank you so much. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
The time is now. The